Well, thanks for celebrating Christmas with us. You hear a song like that, you experience Mary's journey. That this pregnancy to her was very chaotic. It turned her world upside down. It was this unscripted, unplanned moments. And yet in the middle of that, she's like, God, would you, one, be with me? Two, would you transform me? Make me into the kind of mother I need to be for this journey. But three, guide me. I'm not sure how to do this. Isn't that what we all need when we go through chaos? To know we're not alone? To know that it's going to make something good out of it? We're going to be transformed? But also, that there's some guidance available. Have you ever looked out your window and seen the snow coming down? You're just captured by the beauty of it? And maybe, every once in a while, when you look at the glass, you can see two snowflakes have etched their way onto the glass. In a beautiful piece of artistry. Have you ever thought about how those two snowflakes got to your window? Scientists tell us they began as a little drop of water up in a cloud. And through a process called turbulence, they go up and down and back and forth and up and down. And during that process, they are crystallized and recrystallized and recrystallized and transformed into a one-of-a-kind snowflake. And then the journey just begins. As they drop into the atmosphere and they are directed by the wind to and fro, back and forth, till ultimately they fall and end up etched together on your window. Directed and transformed. What if that was available to all of us? What if your Christmas chaos, whatever it looks like, could turn into a Christmas masterpiece? That you could know there's a rhyme or reason for what happens, that you could know even the bad stuff could turn out to something good. What if you knew you could trust someone to orchestrate and direct your life? I want to tell you the Christmas account through the metaphor of two snowflakes. Now, they're going to end up in Bethlehem, but on a very, very different journey. Our first snowflake represents Mary and Joseph. And they are going to be 90 miles away from Bethlehem as our story begins. And as we study their life, we're going to learn that chaos, and their Christmas is filled with chaos, doesn't mean it's chaotic, that there isn't a meaning or purpose or someone directing their circumstances. But it is random. It is head-scratching moments. Just ask Joseph. You see, after his mother Mary was betrothed, engaged to Joseph, first chaos, before they came together, she was found with child, not volunteered, of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, having been building their home together and planning the future together, is heartbroken at what has happened. So he decides to put her away secretly. Divorce for Christmas. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appears to him and says, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. I'm going to transform your fear into some trust. You're going to learn things about yourself and me. Take Mary as your wife, for what's conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. He's like, I am out of God's plan. No, no, you're right in the center of God's plan. And Joseph's thinking, can you tell my circumstances? Meanwhile, Mary's got the same encounter. She's now 9 months pregnant, and chaos comes into her life. A decree went out from Caesar Augustus. The Romans are in charge. And it was at this time, while she's 9 months pregnant, the news is they need to be registered for a tax levy. Oh, how inconvenient is this? So Joseph went up from Galilee. Now, Galilee's to the north. He's going to head to Bethlehem to the south. But it says up because it's a mountain climb to get up to Bethlehem, to the city of David, where he's from, his family's from, which is called Bethlehem, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. Now, unlike what you see in the TV shows and the movies, they were pretty impoverished. They probably could not afford a donkey. And she's thinking, I'm 9 months pregnant and I need to mountain climb 90 miles to get to Bethlehem. Oh, my sciatica. Oh, oy vey, mother of God, is this the plan? If that wasn't chaotic enough, you can imagine they arrived late because of that process. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. Oh, I can't give birth in my own home, in my own bed. I got to be in some other town. Then she delivered her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. She doesn't even get to lay God's son in a bed. She lays him in a manger. Is this really the plan? Yet remember what Mary had said just two chapters earlier? She said, "Let it be unto me according to your word." She's saying, "You know what, God? I don't see the plan, but I'm going to trust you to be the planner. I haven't worked out how it's all going to work out, but I'm going to trust that you can work it out. Because if God could have his child born in a stable filled with manure and make that a place that could be a source of joy and peace, maybe he could use your circumstances and maybe mine to work it out for good." I tell you who knows this well is one of America's famous poets, Longfellow, Henry Longfellow, a man of great joy and passion. Wrote many poems, very famous in America. He loved his wife, he loved his church, he loved his kids. Until tragedy struck. He lost his wife to a fire in their own home. He was living during the time of the Civil War, seeing people hate one another, people enslave one another. His son ran off to join the army despite his protests. He needed his dad's signature, but he lied. His son was shot. He thought he was going to be paralyzed. And though he'd later recover, Longfellow tumbles into a deep, dark depression. He couldn't get himself out. He stopped writing poetry. He felt like God had taken his poetry from him. Then one day on Christmas, he heard the bells of the church begin to ring. And for some reason, it called to him. It called to remind him that though he was grieving, he needed a greater source of comfort. He needed some way in which this pain he had wouldn't be meaningless pain. It could be meaningful. There would be a final chapter. And so he pulled out a pen and he pulled out a paper and he began to write these words that we now know as one of our hymns or songs. "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play. And wild and sweet, the words repeat, a peace on earth, goodwill toward men." But hear him struggle. "But in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong. It mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill toward men." Then pealed the bells more loud and clear. "God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill toward men." And he realized that same baby that came to a manger would one day end up in a tomb to defeat death. And though he didn't understand the loss of his wife, he would be able to see her again. He rubbed that hope into his grief. The Bible says that God came in the first installment as a forgiver, but he's going to come again as a fixer to fix this world and all its brokenness and randomness and hatred. And he says, "I need that. I want the source of that." Don't we all want to know that we can find something beyond circumstantial peace, something that transcends the circumstances? Think about our favorite Christmas story, at least mine, the Grinch. What is it all about? The Grinch comes in and creates chaos in Whoville. He takes everything, chaos, chaos, chaos everywhere. He takes the Who feast. He takes the Who pudding. He even takes the Who roast beast. And yet, despite all that circumstantial randomness, Christmas came. There was something bigger than circumstances. Well, Mary and Joseph had now, through this process, they've found their way to Bethlehem. Meanwhile, 900 miles away, we pick up our second snowflake, the wise men. And we learn that God's masterpieces are not up and down straight lines. They're often zig-zag strokes. In fact, scholars tell us that the route the wise men took was quite a zigzag. They came up the Euphrates River, swung around what's called the Old Spice Route. I got a chance to visit that many years ago and walked on the same trail the wise men did. They would have come through Damascus and crossed over on the east side of the Jordan River, then crossed over not to Bethlehem. No, no, they've come to Jerusalem, the wrong town, I guess, right? Wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who's been born king of the Jews? We have seen his star. We are directed here, not there." Now, when Herod heard this, oh my goodness, the last person you'd want to tell there's a new king in town was Herod. He's got a whole history of actually killing, destroying anyone who threatens his throne. You told Herod? Herod was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. So he inquired, where's the Christ supposed to be born? They get a group of scribes who begin to pull out old scrolls and unroll the scrolls and say, well, hundreds of years ago, it was said that in Bethlehem, for out of you shall come a ruler. Now that's going to direct them to Bethlehem, which means Mary and Joseph, that random hill climb, mountain climb up to Bethlehem, put them in the exact right place that God had predicted hundreds of years in advance. Wow, what a plan. Meanwhile, Herod's now going to try and kill him. So God being one step ahead, God said to Joseph, arise, take your young child and mother, flee to Egypt, for Herod's going to try and destroy him. He knows in advance. He's already planning in advance. To which Joseph's got to think, I can barely afford the next week's meals. How am I going to provide for the finances needed to make it all the way to Egypt for months or maybe years? And yet, like two snowflakes, you can see their two patterns. God brings them all together at just the right place at just the right time. Because the wise men walk in, and when they saw the young child, he's probably two at this point, they fell down and worshiped him. You only worship God, you don't worship people. Confirming what the angel said, that this is God in her womb, and now there's a child. As Joseph's wondering, how am I going to pay for all this? Suddenly he's handed the gifts of gold, frankincense, and valuable myrrh. God guided and God provided. Like two snowflakes on very random, turbulent journeys, all coming together in one beautiful masterpiece. I don't know what your 2025 has been like, but we had a lot of high highs and also some low lows. I celebrated 31 years of marriage. I got to see my daughter become a mother. I got to hold my first grandchild. And yet, we had a car accident. My pregnant daughter, my wife, my sister-in-law in February. We didn't know if it would affect the pregnancy. My wife still got some ramifications to that accident. And we can't control the circumstances around us, but I tell you what we did in 25 is what we're going to do in 26. And I encourage you to do the same. Trust the Christmas masterpiece maker. The same God who did this, not in fantasy, but in history. If he could bring these circumstances together, hundreds of years predicted in advance to accomplish these purposes, he could work with your circumstances, and he could work with your challenges if you choose to trust. Now, I don't know what your 2026 is going to bring, but I promise you, at some point you're going to listen hard enough, and you're going to hear the wind begin to blow through your life. And you're going to say, oh, no, I didn't plan for that. Oh, that was not part of the plan or the script. It's not what I expected. And in those moments, I want you to remember when you were a kid and the snow first began to come down. The sense of wonder. Now, as an adult, you're like, ah, it's chaos. I gotta go shovel the lawn, right? I gotta shovel the sidewalk. But you remember as a kid, it was just wonder. You just knew that as the snow began to fall, all the grease and grime around us would be covered. Purity, a picture of forgiveness. What if even when random things came into our life, we began to see it the same way? And what if, just pick one piece of snow you see in the room even now, and just track it. Look at how chaotic it all is. Some are going straight down, some are flying up because of additional wind from the air conditioning, some are back, some are forth. It's like, why isn't that one moving? Why is it going the wrong way? And maybe you look last year and said, I thought I'd be here by now. Why am I still there? I thought I'd go right and I end up going left. Why are things so chaotic? How do you connect the dots? And in those moments, and they'll come, I want you to remember those two snowflakes on the window. How God can create a masterpiece to transform us. To guide us. And yet, what makes a snowflake able to be guided? It's because it's so light. Maybe this year is the year you say, I'm going to cast off some anxiety. Stop trying to carry the weight of the world. Instead of trying to control people and circumstances, and they kind of resent me for trying to control them, I'm going to trust God to be in charge of people and circumstances. Or maybe you're going to be lighter because if the manger is about God forgiving us, maybe I'm going to choose to be light enough to forgive someone else, to let go of a grudge, to let go of some anger. My wife and I did that this year. I haven't talked to my sister-in-law in 15 years, and we finally got on the phone. We hit that FaceTime button. We didn't really want to do it, quite frankly. And we worked through stuff after 15 years, and now our family can be together because we're a little bit lighter, trusting God with the outcomes. How about you? Do you want to trust God for that in your life? Let me lead us in a prayer. I'll just give you a chance to pray to God words like that. In your own heart, just say something like this. Say, God, I got some chaos. I got some stress. But thank you for coming to an imperfect place. And out of that imperfection, you brought something good. Thanks for dying on that cross for me. I invite your peace into my heart. I invite your joy into my heart. I invite your forgiveness into my heart. Maybe end your prayer this way. Say, God, transform me through this process. God, guide me in this next year. In Jesus' name.